Today, pop goes the rate cut calls. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Just a few days ago, markets were betting on a mega 50 basis point cut in the cash rate by the RBA next week, and also expecting a rate below 3% before the end of the year, perhaps anticipating five RBA rate cuts with a decent chance of a sixth, which was reflective of the worrying second-order impacts of the Trump tariff playbook, weak economic growth in Australia, and anticipated higher unemployment. While Australia got off lightly with a 10% levy on all exports to the US, as a small open economy heavily geared to trade, is particularly exposed to the fallout from impediments to global activity. Of course, the RBA left the cash rate unchanged in April, just one day before the US president unleashed sweeping tariffs that sent financial markets into a tailspin, although, of course, they've since recovered. Since then, much has changed. The tariffs are morphing into a more benign scenario, with China in a 90-day window to negotiate, and suggestions of tariffs which, though higher than before April the 2nd, are less likely to kill economies. And today, we got the latest Australian employment data from the ABS. Superficially at least, employment soared in April, while the jobless rate held steady as more people sought work. Highlighting the resilience of the labour market, employment jumped by 89,000, almost four times the predicted gain, and that's the biggest increase since February 2024. The report caps a run of data which will likely reinforce the RBA's watchful stance on price pressures in the economy, with both inflation and wages coming in stronger than anticipated and the jobs market remaining relentlessly tight. That said, the RBA's preferred measure of core inflation did return to its 2-3% target for the first time in more than 3 years, according to data at the end of last month. The ABS reported that the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate remained at 4.1% in April, with employment increasing by 89,000 people and the number of unemployed increasing by 6,000 people, so the unemployment rate remained steady at 4.1% for April. The rise in employment was larger for females, up 65,000 or 0.9%, while male employment was up 24,000 at 0.3%. Female employment growth was mainly in full-time workers, which rose 42,000 or 1.1% in April, and female part-time workers rose by 23,000 or 0.8%. Employment has grown by 380,000 people or 2.7% over the year. This annual growth rate is higher than the population growth rate for people aged 15 years and over, which is sitting at 2.1% over the same period. The strong growth in employment led to a rise in the employment-to-population ratio of 0.3 percentage points to 64.4% in April, which is just below the record high of 64.5% seen in January. The addition of 6,000 unemployed people meant the labour force grew by 95,000 people and the participation rate rose by 0.3 percentage points to 67.1%. And looking at the detail, the participation rate for those 35 to 40 years old had the largest annual growth at 1.9 percentage points to 88.3%. After two consecutive months of falls, monthly hours worked rose marginally by 630,000 hours despite the strong growth in employment. And the underemployment rate rose by 0.1 percentage points to 6% in April 2025. That was 0.5 percentage points lower than April 2024 and 2.7 percentage points lower than March 2020. The underutilization rate, which combines the unemployment and underemployment rates, rose by 0.2 percentage points to 10.1%. That was 3.8 percentage points lower than March 2020. Across the states, seasonally adjusted unemployment was highest in Victoria, Queensland and Western Australia, all at 4.2%, while it was at 4% in the Northern Territories, 3.9% in New South Wales and South Australia, and it was 3.8% in the ACT and Tasmania. Though, interestingly, the participation rate was lowest in Tasmania at 60.2% and highest in the ACT at 73%. Now, I've spoken before about the fuzziness in the employment data and the sampling errors remaining quite high. but it does give plenty of room for different takes on the local economy. And the latest Australian online job advertisements increased by 4.5% or 9,327 available positions in April to stand at a three-month high of 216,415 ads, a down 9.5% or 22,814 positions over the year, though. And according to Seek, Australian online job ads volumes rose for a second time this year, up 1.8% in April after 2 months of declines. That was driven by growth in six of the eight states and territories in the month. Ads are down 5.7% year on year. Yields on bonds rose on the back of the data, with a two-year yield at 2.624%, up more than 9% over the past month, while the 10-year stood at 4.579, up more than 6% over the past month. Treasurer Chalmers said today's job numbers shows that for the first time since records began, the unemployment rate in the low fours, while both headline and underlying inflation are within the Reserve Bank's target band. This is another welcome sign of progress we are making together in our economy. Shane Oliver over at AMP wrote, another messy Australian jobs report. April employment up 89,000, but employment flat at 4.1% and unemployment up. The rise in jobs reflects a sharp rebound in participation after a February fall. Noise, not signal. Overall jobs market remains tight, but not tighter than in March, so expect the RBA to cut next week. Alex Joyner over at IFM wrote, markets continue to reduce expectations of RBA rate cuts on the basis of incrementally less bad news flow from overseas and some of the data here. There is no emergency to address. The bank is likely to ease next week, but the next cut remains contingent on the domestic data flow and global developments. And the ABC's David Taylor on X wrote, wow, employment increases by 89,000 in March. May RBA rate cut seems a very close call. So the question becomes, will the uncertainty surrounding Donald Trump's global trade agenda and cooling inflation in Australia be enough to get the central bank to act? The bond market still ascribes a 92% chance of some rate relief when the RBA meets on May the 20th, as against 95% before the report. If they do cut, it would be seen as an insurance rate cut, driven by uncertainty in the global economy from the US trade question. Another reason to cut next week is the ongoing impact that the RBA's tight policy settings is having on the economy. Governor Michelle Bullock has said policy was restrictive, and we know that mortgage households are gasping for some more rate relief. See my recent show. Tano Pelosi, a portfolio manager at Antares Capital, said the job report and improving global conditions place the RBA in a far more difficult position. If a rate cut in May was certainly a week ago, I would put the odds at 50-50, he said. All of a sudden, the global backdrop is not as dire as it was only 3 or 4 weeks ago. So all up, at very least, next week's RBA meeting will be live, but don't expect big cuts based on the latest data flow. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.